This is The Record. I'm Marcy Silman. Seattle area environmentalists are looking to the EPA to help restore the health of the Duwamish River. It's a Superfund cleanup site. The EPA is supposed to issue a cleanup plan in the coming months. No matter what the EPA does on this or any other decision it has to make, two sides eventually emerge. One says the EPA needs to do more to protect the environment. The other says the EPA already overreaches its authority. So who is right? Lisa Heinzerling used to work for the EPA. Now she teaches law at Georgetown University. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
So which is it? Is the EPA so big that it's overstepping its bounds, or is it working within the law that set it up?
I think it's unquestionably working within the laws that set it up. It's important to remember that these laws were passed in a kind of wave of environmental activity in the 1970s. Many of these laws were passed with huge margins. If you look back at the Clean Air Act of 1970, the Senate passed it unanimously. There was only one dissenting vote in the House. The same picture applies to the Clean Water Act of 1972. So these are laws with tremendous bipartisan support. And those are laws that continue to define the agency's mission today. So I think that the claim that the agency, in acting to protect people against pollution, is overreaching as a matter of law or as a matter of science is just way overblown.
I'm talking with Georgetown University law professor Lisa Heinzerling. And maybe to better understand the scope of the EPA, we should go back to the beginning. When and why was this agency created?
The agency was created in 1970. At that time, there was a great deal of concern about environmental problems. Congress began to enact the kind of legislation I was just referring to protect the environment. And at that time, there was no federal agency that was charged simply with protecting the environment. There were other agencies that were charged with protecting industries like agriculture, but there was no agency charged with protecting the environment. And so it's sometimes forgotten that it was President Richard Nixon who created the EPA, and then the agency was ratified by Congress. And so it was created in order to have an agency that would have one mission, and that was environmental protection.
So that was 44 years ago. How has the scope and power of the EPA changed in that time?
Oh, it's changed in almost every respect. First of all, it has changed in the sense that it has much bigger legal responsibilities than it had at that time. After the initial acts protecting against air and water pollution, there came a raft of other statutes that protected against toxic chemicals and hazardous wastes and so forth. The agency has grown in personnel and in reach during that time. And so the agency looks very little like the agency of that period. In one respect, though, it's the same in the sense that it is our only agency solely devoted to the mission of protecting the environment.
So you talked about the growth of the EPA. What kind of opposition has there been to that expansion?
Well, there's been a lot of opposition to the expansion, oddly enough, from people who don't seem to understand that that expansion has always come at the direction of Congress. The EPA exists only because Congress created it. Congress passed the statutes under which the agency operates. Congress passes the agency's budget. Congress also, I might add, gives the agency incredible demands that far outstrip, I think, by anybody's understanding, the agency's resources. And so what you see the agency doing today is actually a smaller version of what it could do if it were fully staffed and funded.
So at the same time it's expanded, it's also restricted?
Yes, yes. In the sense that the Congress has given the agency tremendous obligations to act against many different environmental threats, and yet at the same time, it's very difficult to meet all of those obligations with the level of funding the agency has. I will add, too, that oftentimes you hear that the agency has overreached or that its decisions are too expansive, and yet usually when an environmental problem arises, when somebody's water is contaminated, somebody's air is found to be dirty, people look to the agency to act.
Lisa Heinzerling is a professor of law at Georgetown University and a former EPA employee. Lisa, you mentioned the agency began under Republican Richard Nixon with bipartisan support. How did we get to the point now where people seem to be divided by political party over the EPA's scope and its oversight?
I think it's been a long road to this point. There came, even in the early days of the EPA and environmental protection, there was a lot of complaint by the regulated industries that the agency would hurt them, would hurt our economy. So those complaints have been with us. And, it's worth knowing that every time the agency has started out to address an environmental problem in any significant way, someone says, this will hurt the economy, businesses will go bankrupt, and so forth. This has not been true in the 40-plus years of the agency's history, and yet we've heard these kinds of complaints from the beginning. On the other hand, I will say, even though we've heard these kinds of complaints from the beginning, that today's tenor is different. There seems to be very little appreciation in some quarters, both for the extent to which the EPA is actually legally obligated by Congress to do the things it does, and also very little appreciation for the fact that the agency is chiefly scientifically based. Most of its activities have to be connected, in the end, to a scientific rationale. Many of its employees are scientists. And the current debate seems to ignore that fact and take it for granted that the agency is almost acting on a whim or acting arbitrarily. In my experience, that's simply not the case.
So what does that say about the way America deals with environmental issues more generally in the political system?
Well, I think it's really a shame that we've come to this point, that an issue that people really were not divided on, that was bipartisan, that is important, I think, to everyone's well-being, has become so polarized. I think it's very unfortunate that some segment of the affected industrial companies have managed to place the words job killing in front of EPA for several years now, and that has stuck a bit. So I think it's a shame that we've come to this point. I think it's based on a false premise. I think it also ignores the extent to which environmental protection is not only healthy for the economy, but essential.
Lisa,
a robust economy.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa Heinzerling is a former EPA official, current law professor at Georgetown University. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.